Okay. This year, I want to summarize the first two shiurim that we had. And the issue that I want to discuss in this shiur is the bottom line, the halacha l'maaseh, when it comes to copying another person's tape or copying another person's CD, or, you know, like today, you can change its media form. You can take a CD and you can put it onto an iPod or onto an MP3. You know, you have some voice have today on their computers. They have downloads of many, many songs. And I just want to go through halacha l'maaseh, what's the story with copying these tapes are. So I just want to do a summary. And based on the past two shiurim, there should be 2 points, 6 points that we have to think about in every single shiur before we can have a maskolo halacha l'maaseh. Firstly, we discussed the issue of Hasukas Gevil, which Hasukas Gevil we discussed based on the Chacham Soifa, where the Chacham Soifa said that there was, in Siman Ayin Tes, the Chacham Soifa said that if a person set himself up in a way where he's going to make profit and he's taking away his profits, it's something that you're not allowed to do. But the thing is that when you are going and you're doing one tape for yourself, personally, then there really is no issue of Hasukas Gevil, because Hasukas Gevil means to compete with the other person in business. And when you're not competing with the other person in business, it's not shy to say that there is any issue of Hasukas Gevil. So when you want to go and make another tape for yourself or for your friends, and say that by making one more CD for another person, you must have Gevil, that L'chaira would not be a issue. Now, let's go to the second possible issue, which this issue I didn't mention yet, and this is a shiva that's written in the Nagi Yehida. And the Nagi Yehida has the following question. If you take a look at the notes at the page number 2 and 3 of the shiva of Nagi Yehida, there was a very interesting story that happened. There was a person that went and he printed a certain paper on a pirish, on kashim. After he wrote the paper on kashim, he approached a printer, and he said to the printer, I would like that you should go and you should print this paper for me, but print it below a shaft. So the person I was going to print the shaft, and below the shaft, he was also going to print his paper on kashim and one other seder of the shaft. Now, the printer went, and he in those days, whenever you wanted to print a shaft, any paper, you needed to set up plates. And there was a lot of work, right? They had to go, and it's like today's typesetting. In those days, it was plates. They went and they organized plates, and they printed the paper. And below the shaft, they put this person's pirish on the zikin and kashim. After the pirish was complete, so they printed it, they sold the paper, and then the machshis had a wonderful idea. This master has happened to own many plates. Usually what they did was, they didn't have that many plates, so they needed to destroy the plates and take them apart as soon as they finished printing the paper in order to print another paper. So he said, look, I already have two of the Zurim of Shas printed on the actual plate. And now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to print a Shas. I'm going to set up the other four Zurim of Shas on plates. And since I'm already a third of the way there, because two of them are done already, so therefore I'll be able to print my shaft much, much quicker. And he actually did so. So the person went and took him to the Nagi Yehida for an entire. And he said to the Nagi Yehida, he said, look, he says, those plates that were printed, were those plates that were set up, who paid to set them up? I paid to set them up. And below the my plate, I went and I took my pirish and kashim. So he found that therefore the proceeds of the plate, at least a certain chelik of the shaft, a third of the shaft, should belong to him. This is a question that came to the Nagi Yehida. And if you take a look at the first shiva which is mentioned, it's page number 2 and page number 3, it says as follows. The even chiva pirish al fayd in the zikin the kashim, and even went and he was mechaba pirish al zikin the kashim, and below the shaft, Rashi places, I'm touching, he was putting the pirish of this mechaba. So then he said, "Behind the derech hamitzvah, then usually the way of the person says the derech is after the government called that the das both consider the oitzias. As soon as they complete that is that they go and they remove the oitzias. And the tzadim him das acha. But there not specifically arba oitzias. Many letters here, many plates. The kind of kinsul asider. The yich the moshehi. Rak, what did he do? He hasten umater." He removed from below the shaft the new perish on Kashim and Zikim, and then he went and he printed the new shaft. So came along the Baal Machab of the Sefer, and the Baal Machab of the Sefer said that those plates belong to me because I paid for them. You know, in this Shiva, the very nice Shiva, that he writes as follows. He says, you need to understand the way that they structured the deal up front. In other words, if I approach a printer, and I take the printer, look, I have a safer, and I want to print my safer below a shaft. So there's two ways of doing this. One way to do it is, I structure the deal in a way where you can see from the amount of money that I pay for the setting up of the plate that I assume that the machfis owns plate, and he has the shaft, and therefore all I'm doing is paying him to add my safer to the typical shaft. So then, the Baal Machab of the Sefer clearly would have no ownership in the plate itself, because the plate then belonged totally to the Matzis. But if the way it was set up was that the Baal Matzis does not have any plate, and he had to go and make the plate only to accommodate my Sefer, so then the Sefer belongs to me, who is the Matzis of the Sefer, because I paid for it. And the Magdi calls this every time you go and you have hanur from another person's money, who is marketable and has a value, and is an investment, so then you are entitled to the proceeds that come from that money. The Medina says as follows. If the situation was that the Baal Machaba of the Sefer in reality paid for the plate, then he's entitled to a certain chelik of the hatosa of this shop. If, on the other hand, the deal was structured in a way that the safer itself belongs solely to the printer, then he's not entitled to any share. What's that? I'm sorry? It's a competition. I don't want to go into the concept of a student's bill. A student's bill regarding our narrow style of copying a CD, we said it's really not negaya because you're not really being Matzis Gula, you're doing another copy for yourself. It's only when you're competing in business. We're discussing another question. You want to be in a hen and in a set of anyway. So another person went. Oh, wait. What's that? You're talking about another Yehidi you're talking about? No, the Yehidi said he wanted to sell it. And the question is, who owns that safer? That's not the Yehidah's question. The Yehidah said you have to look at the deal, how it was structured, to figure out who is the actual owner of those plates of the shop. Now, when we go into our shiloh, the truth is, it will not really be negated, this time of Yehidah. I'll tell you why. Because in our question that we're discussing, to be in a hand in the Nifta Kaveira, you have to be loyal to the school. I have to come into your shit and take something from you and have hanur from it. On the other hand, when you sell a CD to me that's totally in my possession already, and it belongs to me, and I copy it, so you gave it to me already. And you can't have the argument anymore that I'm the head of Minister Kaveroi, and when I make another CD, I should pay you for a second one. That argument can only be a good argument when it remains in the shit of the original owner. But in our case, that child is also not a gayer because it's already been transferred to the ownership of a new person. So that's the second point I wanted to point out. I didn't conclude yet. I said it's not a problem regarding the child of Asudas Bezil. It's not a problem regarding my Yehidah's issue of Zen Ahen. So that's all I said. There are four, about six issues that I want to mention. It's not true. Right. Oh, I'm going to get to that. But let's first go through the six possible Bidurim that we discussed in the last couple of weeks here, and then we'll be able to see the bottom line halacha l'maaseh. But in the shaloh of Asudas Gevil, it definitely would be okay. In the shaloh of that first week, and when you're making another one for yourself, when you're making it for the other person, it's a little difficult to say that it's concerned for self. If you make it for one more person, that he already is the Masig Gevil of competing for business. If you did it in order to sell it The Beit will be Asura Zevil, the pleasure of achieving Asura Zevil. But if you made one more for yourself or for your friend, it's sort of it's a stretch to argue that that already also would be the real Asura Zevil. But let's go now to the first possible shaila that they can be. The first possible issue that they can be, we mentioned, the Shiva the Shoni Meshach regarding intellectual property. The Shoni Meshach felt that anything that you composed and that you created automatically belongs to you because it's your composition or because it's your creation. And regarding that Shoni Meshach, we mentioned that the Beit Yitzchak, the Kavner Ruv, is Chaylik, and he said that that's not true, that a person's creation and composition is something which is abstract, is something that does not belong to him. So if you want to say that it should be usa because of the Shoni Meshach, you have the Beit Yitzchak, which is Chaylik. Now, a fourth possible mahalas would be what we learned from Ramesh Feinstein, and Ramesh Feinstein wrote in the Shiva that any time a person set himself up in a way where he can make money, when something is a marketable item, so Ramesh writes that that is considered your neighbor for copying it. That's what Ramesh writes. Because since I set myself up in a way, we discussed it based on the Sma, which the Sma says in Israel, Uncle Kaspi Shokhavayoi, when you take something that I have, and you're making another copy for yourself, so then you're taking away my hanosa, which is Geneva. But we also did add, according to the Moshe's Shiva, that would only be a problem in the specific situation that you set yourself up in a way where I'm taking away business from you. So therefore, it's a climb bar. That will be the difference between the two cases. If the case would be that you're making it for another friend, so you're taking away business from the other person. But if the case would be that you're doing a quarter of Moshe, if the case would be that you're just making a second copy for yourself, then you wouldn't purchase another one anyway, so then, again, there should not be an Issa according to Reb Moshe. This is a very complicated question, which I've asked this for many years, and I've never really heard a clear answer. It seems to be, you're right, it seems to be, I'll go a step further, how about if there's a certain tape or CD that I would never buy? I clearly would never spend the money on it, right? But Lafayette, I'm allowed to go to yours and make another copy for myself. Right? Lafayette, that would be the bottom line. So the problem with that is that it's like, you know, the status of Yerachim is shiurim, because who really knows? If you really don't want it, why are you making a copy? And you can say, for the one time I would listen to it, I wouldn't pay for it. It's a correct argument, but you have to handle that argument very carefully. And I'll go a step further. If you have a CD, or if you have a tape, right, which the tape or the CD, that you want to make another one to have one in your house and one in your car. I'm going to go through the other three possible Yitzirim that there are, but the Pasha says you're allowed to do that. But how about if you have one and you make it that fresh? So can you go to another person, make a copy of his? Why? Because you never would have purchased another one when yours was simply scratched. Well, honey, that's a good argument. Well, honey, you're allowed to do it. But how about if yours is broken? Then you're not allowed to go to another person. So, but if yours is broken and you did it beforehand, then you are okay. So you have to think about all those options. Go ahead. I'm going to get to that point in a couple of moments, but I just want to first mention the other three possible terms in order that we can approach each specific question. The other category is the passion is missing. The passion is missing. But one second, give me another few seconds. Let me just go to the other three issues that there can be. The other issue that we mentioned is a concept called Shia b'Mechira. Shia b'Mechira is Daniel Chaim Goldberg, who wrote a very nice children paper called Tumim, where he said that just like when you sell a bias, you sell a house. So you can leave over a certain amount of expenses, you can leave over a regular, you can leave over a floor for yourself, you can leave over the permission to pass through the house. He said, similarly, I can sell something to you, like a CD, and restrict to you, but you should not have the right to copy this item. Now, many, many disagree with this concept, and the time is as follows. The time is that, firstly, when we have the concept of Shia b'Mechira needs to be in the same usage of the item, which means as follows, that I never have sold something to you, but I retain a certain usage of the item that's similar to the original usage, which means I had a house, still I was able to walk through the house, now I can continue to walk through the house. He says, here, what am I restricting you? I'm restricting you that you can't copy it. So that's the issa But that was not something that I had originally that when I sold to you, I was able to restrict. That's number one. Secondly, when you sell something to another person under the shear, that means you retain something for yourself. Here, what happens is you sell the tape, and after you sold the tape is sold, and the other person has the right to use it. Let's go step further. How about if I sold the CD to another person? And after I sold the CD for another person, he paid me my $15, and then I walk over to him and I say, I want to use your CD. So I'll say, I'll go, sir. He can tell me, no, you cannot use my CD. The truth is there is no shear in the here, because who the truth really belongs to, it belongs to the buyer. And the new issa that you try to place on him is a different type of issa than the original virus that I had in the specific chesed. So that also would be a very weak timer. Tonight, you're talking tonight. I'm talking shear. Now you're going on to tonight. It's in your next issue. No, there's two things. Shear means I sell something, but I'm the emotional survivor, but you're shy of yourself. So this... Why? I never had the shear has to be ke'en, your original balance. That's what it has to be. What you retain to yourself is similar to what you owned originally. If what you retain to yourself is something new, then that's the pasha's not called shear. That's the strong argument that you have to connect. Is the Ruhana mentioned? What's that? Who wrote the Shiva against him? Shenzhen Rabozin's Bezin is the one that wrote the biggest Shiva against him. I think it's the Mishnah Pesach Yotze, that's where that Shiva is. But the Yom that you speak to didn't really accept the Shiva. I know somebody spoke to the Christ and he didn't accept it. And I mentioned to her, he told me that it's not missing me. Pretty much today, they didn't accept this Shiva Shiva simply because the newish, the actually in the Shamshish, which is not going to the original Baalus, and even more than that, you're giving something over to the animal, to the sheep, and you really don't have a right to it anymore. But in regular sheep, you have the full right that you originally had. The other issue, as you just mentioned, was the issue of T'nai, that you can sell something on a T'nai, that I should restrict you from being able to copy it, which is very shvel for your local, because all of a sudden when you sell something on a T'nai, it has to be done by our local. It's nice. So none of these tonight are being made appropriately. The biggest problem is that if every seller of paste and media and firm that a person copied it, if they would afterwards are they gonna go and give back the money and the Mavatu would be, of course not. But against the tonight, so the tonight seems to be something that's very weak to do. I have only 20 more minutes, and I want to get to those subjects. So leasing. So I want to get to that. Leasing already is a much more complicated subject. I want to first finish this subject. I'm going to get to that until the end of the Shia Ben Sashia. Let me go. Yeah, but when you said the biggest problem, you're not willing to take it back. If you break the property, you give them back the money and take back your tape, of course not. So the answer to that is not really true. Yeah, but are you with lucky fine? So you made it tonight that you sold it, and if the person's laying on it tonight, what happens? The machine is booked. Yeah, but again, by a tonight, when you make it tonight, the person's laying on it tonight, so then the machine is booked. So what is it? You want to take back the CD, the seller? And give him back his money when he copies it? Of course not. So it doesn't really make any sense. But let's just go to the other issue. The other issue I mentioned was the Beit Yitzchak, which was covered by the Shalimeshev said that it becomes an issue of Dina Machisa Dina. Right? There's rules you say when you copy another person's item. Now, if you say Dina the Machisa Dina on the copying of a specific CD is not so kosher, firstly, I already discussed the Shachar and Mo and the Machabah, that there are certain cases you don't say Dina Machisa Dina, and especially here, for two reasons. Aleph, I'm just going to throw a few clues on why it's possible that you don't follow Dina Machisa Dina. Firstly, you don't follow Dina Machisa Dina on something besides the Shachar that we discussed, but you don't follow Dina Machisa Dina when I'll use the word minute, but I don't mean this word. It is a certain law which even the goyim are not being maksed on, you're not mechuyev to be more firm than the goyim on this halacha. If it's widespread that people are copying tape, so to tell me that you are the yid, I'm not talking about mitzad toy and dina, right? That's a different story. But to say that mitzadim machisa, the Torah restricts me more than the goyim themselves are acting, that mechuyev is a stretch. Besides that, there is the doctrine of fair use. So the doctrine of fair use tells us that even though it says all those isurim that you can't copy it, and if you copy even one page or one paragraph, that you're not allowed to do it, if you really study the law carefully, I consulted with certain attorneys, they explained to me that it's only if you really take the person's whole paper away, you take the person's whole composition away, right? But if you take a page, if you copy one more page for yourself, according to the doctrine of fair use, that should really be okay legally. So if that's the case, the truth is that all of these six suggestions of Yisroel that we mentioned, you really can't pinpoint any of them that it should be also, because not everyone is a chodit. On the other hand, the Eskoma Knot, every rule that you speak to is that between the six, pick one, and don't do it. So that's what it really boils down to. Now, so again, the issue that... It's a minor chodit, all right? Now listen, yes. If what you're going to do is you're going to copy one for yourself, get into it. There really is no problem of copying one for yourself. On the other hand, if you're going to copy it in order to compete, in order to, for another person, let's say you copy it and you're going to give it to another person. So now, according to the Moshe, at least, what are you doing? You're doing the neighbor, because the other person would have purchased one, except in the single case, the one person one. But the fact is usually when, but if you're doing it for yourself, get one copy in your house, one copy in the car, you drink the high, it doesn't seem to be a problem. And in one family, that should be okay. I don't mean one family, you know, people have a very extended family on top of these things. But if you're doing it on the other hand, when it's for a personal use, then there should be no issue whatsoever. So now let's go through a few of the shallows, we don't go to the issue of leasing. Right. What right does he have to sell shutfit in somebody else's? It's your neighbor from somebody else. How can he do that? He owns it, but then I'm discussing it. Again, listen, you can take every one of these six possibilities and you can question each one of them. But somehow the overwhelming masculine is not to do it. Everybody argues a different reason why not to do it when you're going to sell it to another person or when you're being mocked to the original seller. But you can have a shekel payer on each one. But the bottom line is you shouldn't do it beyond your own personal use. That's what it really boils down to. Now, let's just go to the other issue. For example, I remember when I was a child, the big deal was to copy music from the radio. Right? That was a big thing. Everybody used to put in a tape into the radio when the radio was playing, and they would copy, say, a farm off the ship in here. That's how we did it. So most of you are looking to copy music from the radio. So let's start. Now, Philip Gimbrill, clearly it's not an issue. You're not competing in business, right? The shear is definitely not an issue, right, when you copy it from the radio. Tonight, when they put it on the radio, there was no tonight. There's no dino machisa that you not want to copy something from the radio, right? So what can be the only issue? Intellectual property, like the Shoney Nation. The intellectual property in that case was clearly being issue because the tape that used to come off the radio was inferior quality to the original tape, and therefore you're not copying the exact same item. Let's talk about when you're copying music online, right? Online. So you're downloading from the internet music. So there, all of the above issues are not an issue. There's no shear, there's no t'nai, there's no misuse of the purchased item. But on the other hand, the intellectual property now will be an issue because the quality of what you're getting is the same as the original quality. And besides that, there clearly is an issue, would be an issue of being a machisa because everybody is familiar with all of the lawsuits that took place against free music, so that lechayra would clearly be an issue. Now, let's go to the next possible question. The next possible question is, how about if you copy another person's paper? What's that? I'm sorry?
You're receiving stolen property.
You're receiving stolen property away. It's not as simple as you can say that. I'll tell you why. Because even though the first person possibly did something illegal, to say on something like music, which is not a tangible item, that even though the first person did the wrong thing, that I repeat a koil, that stolen is a little difficult to say. Okay, even though the first person did something else, the real issue is the two first other issues that I mentioned. The intellectual property, if you're concerned about the shayla nation, that would be an issue. And the other thing that would be an issue would be the issue of bilma machitza, which is clearly an issue when you're downloading something online. What's that? And economic, but it's hard to say. He wants to say according to the most that is considered the neighbor. It's a little bit difficult to say that another person that did Gneva, he was always on Gneva. Now I'm going on taking the music that he did Gneva on, and there's an incident passed on to me when it's something which is not tangible. This one, the Yenner Moshe said, what he's doing Gneva because I set myself up in a way that I can make money and you're taking it away from me. But you're going to say that the second person is, what's the waiver? You remember the Moshe like said with Shiva, like going into another person's museum and taking away the admissions, right? That was the Dinyan. We can talk about it more after the Shiva, but the question just gets on an answer. The only thing which is very interesting is, the Volzner of Shuva, which I have printed in this booklet of Shuva, and Volzner says that for a yeshiva to copy one page of a sefer in order for a rabbi to be able to give a share in the yeshiva. So Volzner goes through many of the issues, that is not going to be the first thing he says, and he says that when you're copying one page, the pashtus, you're not being mastered the Mechata Purim, and the Lomdus, the very first Lomdus, he says, because he would never have gone out and purchased 30 Purim for every boy in the class. You can't make a copy from this sefer, he's going to go to another sefer. And I, if you take a look at the sefer, at the front page, it says that nobody's allowed to copy even one paragraph or one line without the express written permission. They're just trying to give you the chaimah of the issa that they're masked in. But to say that they really have the hakpuzah on every individual page is lav dafka. Some of them do, but usually they don't. So that's what we're holding around. The problem is that it goes in the face of one of the most important concepts, which somebody mentioned in one of the original shiurim. There's a concept that's called, again, the whole shuva is mukta that makes a lot, that pushes. But how about I'm making a certain amount that I'm taking away money from the other person because he would have bought the sefer? So then the cost will be that it's also. Which brings us to the next question. Does the Yehudi get shach? I want to read to you the shach because you'll see there's a concept called Ein Gneiva B'Divrei Torah. That you're always allowed to go and sell and steal a person's Divrei Torah. So the question is, if you hold that Ein Gneiva B'Divrei Torah like the shach, how is it possible that all of these shivas were written, that you're not allowed to copy another person's Purim, l'choyer, there should be an issa of Ein Gneiva, there should be a hetza of Ein Gneiva B'Divrei Torah. And we discussed CDs, and we'll discuss soon the licenses and economics. But when we discuss the issue of Purim, l'choyer should be mitzvah. I just want to show you quickly, if you take a look, the on the page that's printed the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Tzadik Bay, the Mechaber said, and then the Shulchan Aruch page, it says on the top, Reish Tzadik Beis. He said as follows. Look at the Rambam in Sif Chuf. The Rambam on Sif Chuf. He says, I go. Page 5. Thank you. He says, but in Moshe, also the literacy many, if a person gives a paper to you, just like you're not allowed to read from it, similarly, you cannot even copy even one oyf. That's after by Baal Urif. Abel, Tamasukum Shaino is safe if you open it there. The Tamasukum that's given the sefer, I write a sefer, and I'm asking it that a certain Tamasukum should hold my sefer. I intend to print it very soon. If he's allowed to look at it, if he's allowed to see the Shalashid prayer that I wrote and say it over in his Bismedish a week before I'm going to go to print, is it mitzvah or not? The halacha is, mitzvah likros, you're allowed to read it, ilahatik mimeni, and the Talmud says, you're even allowed to rewrite the sefer that the other person wrote. The smart chaylik, you take a look at the long shach, in similar on the hay, it's called certain medushim, and the shach says, that you have a concept, ein, you can't steal the Torah from another person. He says, other than he brings down that this person, the group has to say too, that this person that steals that Torah is going to become a tremendous Tamasukum. So now we just need to take a step back. We had all these shinas that said that you're not allowed to copy another person's Torah. And that if you copy another person's Torah, the complacent says, and all the Gedolim said, that it's Kemal of the Gedolim, that it's as soon as you will. I, the Shach, said that the Lupas is that we have a concept, Ein Gneiva B'Divrei Torah, and if we have a concept of Ein Gneiva B'Divrei Torah, how is it possibly also? So the text is as follows. Okay, there's a tremendous difference between the shach and our specific situation. Firstly, the shach is talking about a person that just wants to copy the actual divrei Torah. That's all he wants to do. But what he's doing is, all he's going to do is, what is he going to have to, at the end? He'll have one thing. He'll have the chiddush. Besides the chiddush, there's nothing more that he's going to have. But today, when I take another person's sefer and I copy it, I have his typesetting, I have his beautiful printing, I have all the other avodas that he put in that's beyond the divrei Torah itself. And for that, there is no hesed whatsoever. Secondly, over there was a person once. The person has no other way to get the divrei Torah, so he copied that divrei Torah. Today, if I have another person's sefer, I can take $10 and go to the store and buy that sefer. So why was the shach matik? So the shach says, Dr. Luth says, if there's no other way to get that divrei Torah, ain't gonna be able to divrei Torah. From the other hand, if I can take $10 and buy that sefer, so what right do I have in the first place to buy that sefer? But let's throw out a different question now. How about if you see let's throw out one more possibility. How about if I see a sefer that's out of print? And I want to copy that sefer in the Chilusa Vatoyra. So that Vatoyra would be mitzvah, because the Mechavis form doesn't intend to print it anymore, and it's engraved with divrei Torah, and there's no owners, and so then it clearly would be mitzvah in that type of a situation. Now, the Luz mentioned a very important point, which I wanted to get to next, and the Luz said as follows. So when it comes to a Mechira, he said you're limited, and the only thing that you can ask for a person is from competing in business, or taking away business by giving it to another person. But if he does it in a way, he's not taking away business because he wouldn't have purchased it anyway, or he's doing just another one for himself, that we said is clearly mitzvah. So the Luz mentioned what happened a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, the people, the Aderet Music, and all the other sellers that were selling tapes had a very serious issue, because when everything went by tech, and suddenly with the press of a button, you can copy hundreds of songs, and suddenly they didn't have the ability to make money anymore by making CDs. So somebody had an ingenious idea, and the idea is, if you take a look, say right now on the top of every bit of Aderet Music that's sold, they write on top of it that it's not really sold to you, but rather it's leased, and it's leased to you on the following conditions. And then they give you all of those conditions with the whole thing there. And now the question is, do I need to honor those conditions or not? So even though we said that you cannot have shear in a machira, the pasha is according to most parishim, on the other hand, when it comes to shear in a leaf, the pasha, you can't. Right? So the fire, they sort of got you. That's what the issue, when they did this, the pashtis, they got the better of you. Let me just tell you what the... What's that? It's both. It would seem to work on both levels. Again, I'm not familiar with how the copyright of patent laws will deal with the lease. I'll discuss the Microsoft, you know, when you bought a QuickBooks that says you can only run it in three computers at a time, I'll discuss that by connecting those stuff, one thing at a time. But Lechayer, they did something here it can be an if they created. I haven't that read, it's a lease or a license. They're writing it as a lease, so you can take it back. So they're written in both ways. Some of them say both, some of them say one. But the point is that are you mechir to keep this or not? The only reason why you might possibly not be mechir is as follows. Earlier, I saw a few of them are written as a perpetual lease. That's the wording they use. Now, perpetual lease, the more of a pasha says is a mechir. If it's a mechir, it's a lumis, the pasha says really a mechir. I'm not sure that would work. But I think the others got smarter now. What they do is they write at least for 20 years, and then they have a problem, because in 20 years from now they don't want it back. So what they write is, in 20 years from now they give you the right to lease it again for the same amount of money, you know, but you don't have to pay more. But the truth is, it is the pasha that's more common. There's no question about it. Another question is being followed. The other question is, very often you have something which is written in Kiddush Lahul Oisius. You know, you buy something and there's three pages of contract written, and on the third page, you know, the 500th word says that you're not able to do so-and-so. So a person's not required to read every contract with a fine comb. I don't think legally a person has an obligation either. Right? Is legally obligated to read the... Yeah, he is? Okay. I'll see how local a person doesn't have that fear. Look, I'm saying it's much more difficult. I'm just saying what the issues are. So when that point was brought up, they redid it, and they put it now in the big Kiddush Shavuot ideas on the cover of the CD. But I don't know, a lot of times you have Kiddush Shavuot ideas that people ignore. You know, so if the people realize, the truth is that they really want it is if I have a full chumbah, if you have a person in the store explaining to you that you're not leasing, and when you're leasing and not buying, this is what the result is. But it's definitely more limited. So let's just get to this one last issue. What's that? So I was thinking about that issue, okay? So I think there's sales tax on these two, right? The release tax card is no sales tax? The different tax. I was bothered by that. I asked one of the people that wrote it, if it's the lease, there should be a different amount of tax. I asked the fellow that wrote it this question, he told me that the lease is taxed too. So that was his response to me. Huh? What's that? No, it's you can't return it early. You have only 20 years. The CD's around, listen, 20, if you did it about 3-4 years ago, 17 years from now, that will be the discussion. Right. It's sold to you, right. It's sold, you mean the seller himself. Louis Fiji would have accomplished to make it into a lease if Taki isn't here. But I'm saying it's questionable. It's a bit questionable. But on the other hand, it's definitely more chumadic. If it's a lease, it's definitely more chumadic. The only issue which I wanted to mention was that one last issue. There's not much more time to go to the shulis. But you mentioned about you buy, for example, QuickBooks or any of these other computer programs. And they write that you can download it onto a certain amount of computers. And they write that it's a light computer. They write the light computer. What's that? That's the keyword that's lighter. And they also write as follows what they write, and many of them I saw at least it's true, but they say most of them are licensed. They also write that if you do it on a certain amount of computers, if you download it, you can only have a certain amount of computers running at a certain time. But quite again, the leases and the licenses are more common together than the chiyuv. I just want to point out one thing, which is take a look at the rest of these shulis, which I don't have time to go through. The Moshe writes in that same shiur as follows. He says that if the Mashiach doesn't make an announcement, let's say a person gets a shiur, and then he plans to sell the tape, but he doesn't specifically restrict you from taking it, you can take that tape for yourself. There's no problem. You don't have to buy his tape. On the other hand, to compete with him, you shouldn't be. That's what the Moshe writes. The Moshe says, on the other hand, a person has been written by a shiur to say that I restrict that nobody should be allowed to copy my shiur, to take my shiur. The Moshe says, you can go into the question that why is he allowed to restrict that? Lechoda and Mara have no value. There's no meaning. So how can you say, what are you stealing from me? This one is the tape that I made to sell. You took it and you copied it and you sold and you took away money. So that's the neighbor. But if you simply take me, there'd be no issue whatsoever. But the Moshe writes, he doesn't address that, but the Moshe writes, the person sometimes says a shear, he's not sure that every word he says is correct. So when he's dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu with a small crowd, he figures, test him, but I'm making a mistake, I'll come back next week and correct it. I can tell the people personally what I said incorrectly. But on the other hand, when you're dealing with a rabbi with Moshe, the Moshe only goes onto the tape, there's no way for you to take it back. And that is, as Moshe said, that you do have the ability to restrict it. Good. What's that?